Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the first Sunday of each month from 3 to 4 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with a community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Rowan, and...
Kelsey.
Talon.
Teo.
We all attend the Laytonville High School.
Our recent programs have covered the effects that marijuana and alcohol have on the adolescent brain. One of the facts that we learned from Ralph Kantor's presentations was that much of the pleasure that comes from ingesting cannabis is due to a release of dopamine in the brain. Dopamine belongs to a class of chemicals known as neurotransmitters, which are chemicals used by the brain in transmitting signals. Dopamine is known as the feel-good neurotransmitter and is responsible for feelings of happiness and pleasure. Dopamine influences sleep, mood, attention, working memory, cognition, and motivation.
Dopamine acts in particular areas of the brain to mediate the sensation of pleasure from rewarding activities like eating, sex, dancing, going to a great concert, heart-pounding workouts, and some spiritual practices. When dopamine is released as a result of cannabis or other substances, the effects are more intense and longer-lasting. Because dopamine normally functions in learning, attention, and motivation, the amplified signal strongly links drug-taking and pleasure, producing a strong drive to repeat the experience.
The side effect of cannabis can include confusion, memory loss, fear, and energy depletion. As the effect of cannabis wears off, there may be a natural desire to ingest some more, release more dopamine, and start over again. One of Ralph Kantor's points was that adolescents who regularly use cannabis do not develop other ways to achieve happiness and pleasure. It is easy to just take another toke. The adolescent brain is developing patterns of how to experience pleasure and happiness, and these connections will be retained for life. So not finding out how to get high without substances can be a real impediment for the adult.
Since the beginning of time, humans have enjoyed getting high. Beyond taking consciousness-altering substances, most people have activities that make them high. Some of these activities involve physical exertion, like dancing, running, sports, working out, and sex. Some people get high from mental exertion, like making music, creating art, reading, writing, and concentration. Some people get high from yoga, meditation, praying, video games, fasting, and raising livestock. Seriously, the range of activities that gives people sensations of happiness and pleasure are vast.
There are also dietary ways to increase dopamine levels. Dopamine is synthesized from amino acids. Eating foods rich in these amino acids helps the body make more dopamine. These include protein and dairy-rich foods such as cottage cheese, chicken, turkey, lean red meat, yogurt, milk, and low-fat cheeses of all types. Also, B-complex vitamins encourage dopamine synthesis.
Exercising 30 minutes a day will increase dopamine levels. You could take a brisk walk or jog daily to encourage the brain to produce dopamine naturally. Another way to get it is a massage. The power of touch stimulates dopamine production. Even less formal touching, such as an affectionate hug, temporarily raises dopamine levels. Get more hugs and massages to naturally increase dopamine levels.
What we'd like to talk about today is what we do that brings us pleasure and happiness. And we want much of today's program to include you, the listening audience, to call in and share what activities you do to experience pleasure and happiness. What makes you high? What gets your dopamine flowing? And how did you discover this source of pleasure? If we share these tools for happiness, especially ones that aren't expensive and have few side effects, maybe we can create a higher community.
So let's begin by going around and having each host describe what activities lead them to feel centered, happy, and not distracted. And let's explain how we discovered this pursuit and what the physical and emotional state is like. Kelsey, what do you do that makes you high?
I personally enjoy movies quite a bit. Just going out and watching a movie in a theater or sitting at home and watching one by myself or with friends. I will go to the video store and just pick one off the shelf that I've never seen or heard about before and watch it. A week or two ago, I picked one that ended up being completely in French, and I still enjoyed it, even though I had to read the whole thing in subtitles. I also enjoy competition quite a bit. If there's something in school that needs to be done, looking over at a friend and seeing how far they are on theirs, I'll automatically want to one-up them or try to just do the best that I can possibly. And it keeps me going academically and physically, mentally, and everything. What about you guys, Rowan?
For me, I mostly enjoy... Well, I enjoy most things. I enjoy eating or jogging, talking to my friends, reading, nice, rigorous conversations with teachers sometimes. I enjoy walking, doing many number of things. If I find that something gets my dopamine flowing, makes me happy, then I do it in the future and I make note and say, okay, this is something that gives me a good time. It's something that I can do when I'm having a bad day to improve my life. Tell him.
For me, mostly things like playing guitar, working with computers, which is just something I love to do. Organize like wrestling, that definitely it's physical exercise, and that definitely gets my dopamine going. Eating, especially candy, for me, that raises my dopamine quite a bit. Music mostly, just music. Listening to music gets my heart rate accelerating, and that just, it makes me happy. Tail?
I really like to eat. And whenever I eat, I get happy. And then I eat more. So I really like to eat, you know, like yogurt, a lot of sugar, anything that's sweet. Not too much of it, but... I enjoy dancing, you know, to music, with people or by myself. I like stuff that's challenging to the brain, so puzzles, math, tactics in games, like chess, maybe. I enjoy to do.
Yeah, knowledge is... It increases my dopamine quite a bit as well. Just going out and learning about things that I've never really heard about before. I know that you like doing that as well, Rowan. Just going up to people and talking to them, getting more knowledge.
Just starting a conversation with a random person can lead to so many more options in one's life. More ideas, more thoughts. It's amazing what you can learn from even just the most average person on the road is their life or a story by them or something that they've done, something they've experienced, something they've heard of, something they've learned. Something that they can tell you to help you on your life, or something you can tell them to help their life. It's immense. There's so many things and so many different possibilities in the world that it's wonderful to experience some of them.
Yeah, it's definitely enjoyable. Let's see, other things that get me high. Definitely, though it's somewhat taboo for people our age, would be sex. I'm not discreet about it. I mean, most kids our age have partaken in such a thing, and I happen to be one of them, and it definitely increases my dopamine levels, and a little bit of it is definitely healthy. Too much of it I would consider to be a bit unhealthy, because then you're relying on it to increase your dopamine levels and using it like a drug. But yeah, it's physical exertion, and it's enjoyable.
Teo, how did you come to realize that these things were actually putting off dopamine for you, that you really enjoyed them? Like the brain activity and dancing and eating?
So I guess I've always really liked to think about things. We'll just start with that one. You know, I got a picture of me, little kid, playing chess with my uncle when I was like 2. And kind of enjoyed it then too, learned the pieces. So I really always enjoyed problem solving and whatnot, and when I heard about this thing, I thought about it, and it really is something that increases my dopamine levels. And eating, it's a more recent thing for me. I became a teenager, started eating a lot more, and I'm like rather a small person, so it's pretty surprising. I eat a lot.
I know that even when we were discussing this before this show started, we started getting hungry ourselves and thinking about going and getting Chinese food after the show. So definitely food is quite amazing.
Yeah. And dancing. dancing, you know, just moving your body to the music. It gets your body moving, your brain working. Just exciting. Raises your dopamine levels, and doesn't really need to be organized. It's just random. You do what you like to what the music is, depending upon the situation. And I dance really easily. When I listen to music, I start dancing. It just happens. Some people, it's less so. Some people, you know, have a very high level of resistance to music, maybe.
And once, I've seen you dance a lot, Teo, and I've noticed that once you start dancing, other people will start smiling and laughing and getting into it as well. And so not only with you dancing, you're making raising your own dopamine levels, but you're raising others. And it's just fun.
Well, everybody feels better if somebody else is dancing.
When they dance, they can...
Yeah, you're definitely getting other people to dance, even people that generally wouldn't dance. It's really entertaining to watch.
You can dance if you want to. You can leave your friends behind.
I've never been much of a dancer, personally. It's not something that I do. I have tried. I've hung out with Teo most of my life, and even with his constant random euphoria and random dancing, he's still never really managed to get me going, unfortunately. I mean, we all listen to similar types of music. We've got different subtleties and genres, but I don't know. I personally listen more exclusively to like heavy metal, rock, sometimes classic rock, sometimes classical. I listen to techno, dubstep, pretty much a large variety of music. And even though it's such a large variety, I've still never really gotten the beat. I've never really gotten up on my feet a whole lot and danced. Unfortunately, it's just listening to the music for listening to the music.
But then again, I've been to concerts with you before, like at the Bimbo Music Festival, and people who I was not expecting at all to dance were up there jumping around and getting into the music pretty intensely, and it was, I guess it just depends on the situations. You don't want to dance alone, maybe, by yourself in your bedroom, but at like a concert or something, bounce all around.
It's the difference between live music versus a recording. Something live is, well, usually much more enjoyable.
It's more exciting.
Yeah, it's more exciting. You're there watching the people play the music. You're there watching the other people around you as they experience the music. It's so much more than just sitting at home and listening to a good song. It's the entire environment, all of the energy of everyone combining all at once to create a giant gyroscopic whirlwind of people doing what they want and having a good time.
It's beautiful. Bimbo, that was a lot of fun. Yeah, dancing to Yoga Man Burning Man, that was one of the better memories I've had since
came into existence.
No, like ever for me. Richard dancing, that made my night.
I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
Richard jammed to it.
That was beautiful.
Talon, what kind of music do you listen to? I know that you're a bit different.
Yeah, I listen to a lot of heavy metal as well, but I also listen to a lot of punk rock, a lot of ska. Ska is like a mixture of punk rock and sometimes reggae. It's interesting. It's a bit more upbeat than punk rock is, but generally the same lyrics. I listen to a lot of alternative rock as well, and a lot of anti-establishment sort of stuff, just because it's enjoyable to listen to and get other people's perspectives just by listening to their music. So yeah, that's most of what I listen to.
Do you listen to the same sort of stuff that you play? Because you said earlier that you really enjoy playing music as well.
Yeah, I like to play a lot of punk rock, definitely. But I also play like a lot of classical music, a lot of classic rock, and I love classic rock as well. Anything that Rowan likes, as he said before, I like that as well. Yeah. But my personal preferences lean more towards ska and punk rock. I play a wide variety of things, really. Even some things that I don't like, just because it sounds nice on a guitar. Yeah. Teo, what kind of music do you like?
I listen to a lot of metal, some techno, and then music that my parents listened to, because that's what I listened to when I was a child, so, you know, really classic rock.
Does it get your endorphins going?
Oh, not really. I don't think so. I enjoy it.
It varies for everyone, yeah.
Yeah, I know I listen to a lot of rock and metal as well as these guys, but also quite a bit of alternative music, music like The Offspring and just more, not so heavy, but more upbeat, like Talon was sort of saying, but also not as strong as that even. I've been listening to a lot of music, like popular music from the 90s with my sister because she doesn't like the kind of music I like, and it's just something we could sort of find a mid-ground on. Because I don't like her music that much, and it doesn't make me happy, it makes me tired.
Does music like get your endorphins going?
Oh, definitely.
Dopamine levels going up there? Yeah.
Yeah. Live music, like Rowan was saying, is more exciting than recorded music, but I could get up and dance like a fool to David Bowie now and then, and not care, and
dance magic dance, man.
Yeah. It's just all, I really enjoy music.
So, Teo, you mentioned earlier that you really enjoy mental activities. You like puzzles and stuff, you like math, as you said as an example. What is it about that really, what is it that you enjoy so much?
Well, I like solving things. I like the feeling of having solved it. Feeling victorious, having won, you know, done it, maybe done it before somebody else, you know, competition. But, you know, having done it, and then it's fun to think. It's fun to think about it and maybe how it would be used in a real-life situation. And I don't really understand how this works.
It's just a real feeling of accomplishment that you started with it, and even though it may have been difficult to do, throughout it, you stuck with it, and in the end, you finished it. You finished things that others might not have been able to do. You played a good game of chess against someone you never thought you'd beat, and boom, there you are. You're the victor.
I know I always get excited when I beat some of my good friends at chess, because I haven't been playing as long as they have, and it just feels nice that I can, you know, get out there and beat them, even though I haven't been playing as long. I played checkers a lot with my grandfather, and he just never got around to teaching me chess, but I still find it really fun.
Rowan, do you like mental stimulation?
Mental stimulation, I really enjoy most stimulations, most different forms of stimuli, video games, exercise, even though they're on opposite ends of the spectrum. And one of the things that I enjoy most is, well, school, honestly. There are more things to do at school than many people seem to realize. Even if you're just sitting bored in the classroom while the teacher is talking, if you pay attention to what the teacher is saying, you can find out a lot of new things. You can then talk to the teacher after class and say, okay, well, you've said this, but what about this? It opens up more doors, more things to say. It gives you more possibilities.
Just going that extra mile and getting something out of it instead of just sitting there and being bored.
Exactly. Like, I've gotten in trouble several times with my teachers, almost all of them, because I'll interrupt in class and say, okay, that's great and all, but what about this other thing that's been said by you previously, or by my other teachers? Well, this is all fine and great, but what about this? And it's a great time to be able to ask other people on their opinions on things, or to talk to teachers, or even to talk about religion. While I'm not a religious person, it's interesting. It's people that have devoted much of their lives, or even very little of their lives, to something that other people take part in. It's not something that's biased, really. Religion is something for everyone. If you don't like religion, then that's fine. If you do, then there you go. You've got something that links you to other people. It automatically lets you in and gives you different viewpoints. It gives you more things to say, more things to talk about, more.
Yeah, devoutly following a religion could definitely affect your dopamine levels. I mean, just the feeling of being closer to something higher up than you, I guess.
I'm not exactly religious myself, but I've been to church in a couple different church camps, and going there, even though I didn't exactly believe. I mean, I've grown up with it around, but I haven't exactly decided what I want to believe in. But even though I'm still deciding, it's so exciting to be in those situations because everybody's so happy and they're up and they're singing and they're dancing and they're just connecting with this one thing that everybody has in common, sort of. And it's just exciting, and like I said, everybody was happy and nothing seemed to be wrong at the time, and nobody seemed to care about what was for dinner the night before or the other stuff. Nothing else really seemed to matter.
I used to be incredibly religious, and that would definitely it affected me, and it made me happier. And so I kind of fell out of that lifestyle, but I can understand how people are a part of it and how it affects them in their lives, at least to some degree. I mean, I'm not saying that I understand everything about the universe. I mean, I'm 17 and all, but
so you do.
Yeah, obviously. But, no.
I just was thinking about something that our English teacher had said the other day about reading and writing. He was saying that Stephen King will not bathe or really eat while he's writing because he gets in such a place that he will not really realize anything else that's going on. I get like that sometimes when I'm reading a good book, just not care about really what else is going on. I was reading The Green Mile during the last school year, and I was supposed to be reading other books as well, but it just didn't seem as important, even though it was just for casual reading for myself.
I've vastly enjoyed reading and writing as well. It's fun. I've been reading a book for my English class that, while most of the other students in the class go, "Oh, this book is so boring. How can you read this? It's terrible," I'm enjoying it. It's a really old book.
It's called Walden.
Yeah.
On Civil Disobedience. Even now, I'm rolling my eyes because he's been bringing it up so much lately, just giving off quotes. When we were hanging out at a friend's house the other day, he was just going off, "Oh, you guys, this book is so amazing. Let me read part of it to you. Let me give you a quote."
It changed my life, actually. Quite honestly, I started reading it less than a week ago, and already it has profoundly affected my life. Mm-hmm. The first 15 pages, I was with everyone else saying, "This sucks. This book is the worst book that I have ever read." And I started thinking about it more, and I started to enjoy it. And I really enjoyed it, and I really do enjoy it. And I went from a person with a view of, "Wow, this sucks," to a person with a view of, "This book is amazing. I understand now why it is that it has so much renown, why it's such a well-known book, why so many people read it so many times." It's gone from something boring that is a drag in my life to something that increases my dopamine, that when I read it or think about it, it really engages my mind, it gets me going, it gives me a good time, even though it sounds like it shouldn't. It's, you know, that's the type of book that I think Teo would enjoy.
Reading that, I love to read personally. Anything by Terry Pratchett, it actually makes me laugh, so, and laughter would, like, anything you enjoy would definitely increase your dopamine levels. And obviously, if you're laughing at something, you probably enjoy it. So,
another thing with school, Mr. Potter does a wood shop, and I know when I was in that class, I enjoyed it, and I would bring home stuff, or Miss Carpenter's art class, and just bringing home stuff that you've created and giving it to your parents or grandparents, it's just, that makes you happy too, because they're like, "Oh my god, look at what you've made." And I know that I made a cutting board, and we use it for dinner all the time, and so whenever I see it, it's like, "Huh, I made that, guys. You're eating off of something I made." And my dad is currently building us a house, and I've been helping him with that, and I have a feeling once we get it done, it'll be an amazing feeling, just because it wasn't something that we bought and moved into. It was something that we built and then moved into. Teo, isn't your dad a carpenter?
No, he's an electrician.
Electrician.
No. Same field of work, I guess.
Yeah, do you get to build stuff with him or do that kind of stuff?
No, not really. sort of shown some interest in helping him. But a lot of the stuff he doesn't need help with. It's a lot of singular playing of wires work, you know. Mostly all I do is sit around and watch, and then he'd tell me to go fetch something.
Fetch quests.
Yeah, joy. at least it was easy.
So now we invite you, the listening audience, to add to the ideas presented here today. We are open to your questions, comments, and insights. We are in the Willett studio, and our phone number is 707-456-9991. Our questions to listening audience is, what makes you high? What activities have you found that gives you a strong sense of pleasure, beyond drugs and beyond sex?
Do you read or write? Do you do yoga? How does a massage make you feel? Do you participate in sports? Have you ever ran a marathon? How does a long, strenuous workout affect your mood?
Is cooking or eating great pleasure for you? Do certain foods affect your pleasure centers? Do you ever fast? How does that alter your consciousness? Does mental challenges give you pleasure? Do you play crossword puzzles or video games? Does learning new information make you high?
Do you pray or engage in other spiritual practices? What mental changes do you sense involved in a religious experience? Do you dance? Do you do aerobics, Zumba, or move in a crowd to your favorite band?
Does your lifestyle bring pleasure to you? Constructing buildings, raising animals, and gardening? The phone number is 456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio or we'll get a very confusing echo. The number again is 456-9991. Please call and share with the group what you do and what gives you pleasure, what makes you happy and centers your being. Please call soon as this show will be over at 4 o'clock.
Caller, you are on.
Hello there. The first answer is that any kind of physical activity. I remember when I used to run a lot, we'd finish a run and say, wow, the sky's endorphin blue, because running and physical activity really stimulates the endorphins. And really what you're talking about is stimulating our own inner pharmacy that we have. And it's only recently that we've started calling it by knowing what the chemicals are and calling it by names of dopamine and so forth. But I highly recommend the book The Mood Cure by Julia Ross, because she goes into a lot of the different nerve transmitters that are involved. And something else I've found, that for every high, there's a low. So we want to be careful not to, you know, artificially stimulate that high, because then we drop down and it has, you know, when it's an external something like cannabis or whatever, then it, you know, it causes a low. So it's really great that you're talking about, you know, actual physical things we can do. And I would make a distinction between, you know, stimulating those hormones versus having emotions and feelings and now we know what the molecules of emotion are, but it's just, sometimes we're just feeling a feeling like pride or happiness. And so that's good to go towards those.
Beautifully put, yes.
And you mentioned the amino acids, and the amino acid tyrosine helps to rebuild dopamine. So if people are using a lot of dopamine, then they can take the amino acid tyrosine to help to rebuild dopamine. And if it's endorphins that are low, the amino acid phenylalanine helps to rebuild that. And Julia Ross's book, The Mood Cure, talks a lot more about that. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, wow, that was, yeah, definitely informative.
Caller, you are on the air.
Oh, hello. You guys mentioned religion earlier, if I recall.
Yes, we did.
And, I think that releasing endorphins and things like that is dependent solely on connection with Jesus. And, you know, I think religion is really a big part of staying happy and being white.
Why do you think that? Why would it be that religion is so heavily part of everyone's life? Why should it be that endorphins and dopamine is released this way? Why do you think this?
Because, you know, we have a spiritual part of our mind too, not just a chemical. We have a spiritual part, and it's very important to take care of that part as well. And, you know, you got to do that through Jesus, and you have to be white to do that.
Well, I agree that there is multiple parts of the brain, but why is that it has to be through Jesus, per se? Why would it be that you can't enrich that part of your mind through praising Buddha or praising another god?
I think they're gone.
Yeah, I guess so.
My, that was definitely different.
Interesting. Caller, you're on the air.
Ooh. That was a kind of heavy one.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yes, definitely.
This is Robert from out here west of Willits. And not to toot my own horn, but to show other people what our horns sound like when we're tooting them and how much good it can do you, I want to recommend English Country Dance, which can be done once a month. This time we're doing it, I got my little thing right here. Yeah, the 14th of September. It's at the Casper Community Center, and this is a kind of dancing which is so unique, and it's easy to do, but the unique thing about it is the smile it puts on your face, which will last for weeks if you let it, and it ain't got no chemicals at all. Anyway, so it's English Country Dance. The name of our band is Take a Dance, and there's 14 of us, and we will be playing for our caller, Elizabeth Zeekley, and bring a little pocket money to pay for the hall. There's refreshments and so forth. But if you've never done it, there's just something, I don't know, everything good that can happen happens, and it makes you feel great. So that's just a suggestion.
All right, thank you.
Beautiful, thank you.
Thanks.
All right, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling from Philo. I just wanted to say how smart you sound, and good for you, and please keep up your thinking.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
That's the truth. And I had my little story about the difference between satisfaction and happiness. A teacher in high school mentioned this. Satisfaction stays with you forever. Happiness is fleeting. And very late one night in high school, at about 2 in the morning, I solved a complicated calculus problem and had no one to tell it to. And but I was intensely satisfied, much like you have mentioned in your achievements, when you recount your achievements. And that feeling has stayed with me. So I just wanted to congratulate you on noticing the difference. Take care.
Thank you.
You too.
All right, caller, you are on the air.
Hi, yeah, my name is Darlene Dilly, and I'm from Ukiah. And I have a few things that bring satisfaction to me that just is blissful, and that's dance of any type. Social dance, I am involved in every week with West Coast Swing, and we've learned some other dances at a class that I take. But just dance and music. Around the house, with people, at the concert in the park, at any venue, really, is very pleasing to me. And then the healing aspect of touch for massage. And I love massage. I'm a massage therapist, and I see the pleasure it brings to the people that I work on. And sometimes that's just pleasure because they're wanting to reduce stress and have some time just to spend on themselves. And other times it's because they're in pain, and it's pleasurable because they get out of pain. So there's, you know, a variety of ways that massage can be experienced and as a healing and blissful recovery time for people. So those are my two favorites, and I'm glad you're doing this. It's nice for people to have some time to put toward listening to what people do, and I would love to see our world put more energy toward peace and love and self-satisfaction than what it seems to be heading toward a lot these days. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for offering this program.
And thank you very much for your input. It's much appreciated.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Caller, you are on the air.
Once more, the Sith will rule the galaxy.
Does that bring you happiness?
I
don't think so.
Right?
Goodbye.
I don't entirely know what that was.
Maybe they're happy about that. I guess it brings... Well, it didn't seem like they were too peaceful with that.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, I was wondering if you guys might mind talking about the correlation between, getting a high from doing a dance or, expressing yourself some way, and the people that actually create that, and the highs that they have, or how they get their workout with, through a high, more than likely usually is a little alternative, but would you, I'm curious what you think about that.
So let me try to get your question straight. You're curious about how we correlate the difference between getting
the high that you get, that we're talking about
mm-hmm.
through dance, mm-hmm. how that feeling, that release that you're speaking of,
yes.
The creation of where that's coming from through the song, and where that person, because it must be a high how it gets created. I don't know. Usually those stories are a little bit sadder, but the effects are good and everlasting, it seems like.
Okay, so you're questioning how the difference between the high from dancing and the high from the music.
The people creating the music, because usually they have drug issues. Very famous songs that last through generations have come from a few twisted, per se, people. Musicians, but their music we dance to forever.
Yeah, okay.
Do you understand where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I believe so.
So, as someone who plays quite a bit of music, writing music can be stressful, and sometimes people just turn to the easy way to release their endorphins and dopamine levels, and that's kind of the problem with a lot of famous musicians.
Definitely. That's what I'm saying.
But they seem to always want to make it to where they please the ones around them, so that the release of dopamine for the people listening to their music and dancing to it comes far easier than, say, injecting heroin and stuff like that.
Well, I don't think there's ever been a musician that ever did heroin. Sure.
Never been a musician that did heroin?
I wish I could play something. Yeah, no. Yeah, no, it was a joke. I'm sorry.
Okay. I was going to say, that's...
Cobain, I mean, he's a pretty good example. But yeah. So, yeah, I believe that a major reason that the musicians themselves are driven to, say, drugs and such are because they don't get quite the thrill out of it all the time. But...
Sometimes music is all they have. Yeah. And that can be the only stable thing.
They make great things. It's truly amazing because we're able to dance to it and get the same or get some kind of feel that they were obviously pouring into at that time when they made it.
Yeah, it's good that I like that you understand, like, that you feel this way, because
I think there's like a lot of relevance there and like an appreciation that maybe not be valued as much. I don't know. I think it's kind of an amazing thing, but kind of horrifying thing in the same way.
So you're sending a lot of appreciation to musicians everywhere.
All right. I hope they hear me loud and proud.
Yep.
Well, thank you very much.
Yep, thanks for your call. All right. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
I like reading. I read a lot. And I'm good at it, I guess. I can go on reading for hours at a time.
Oh, beautiful.
Is that something that brings much joy to your life?
I like feeling that I'm part of the book and I understand the characters' conflict and visualizing.
Well, then I can definitely see how that releases endorphins in you.
Yeah, most certainly. Is there much else that you do with your life that brings you joy, or is reading your main source of accomplishment and happiness?
I do swimming a lot, too.
You do what? Sorry.
I think she said swimming.
Swimming?
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Swimming is a great way to get your dopamine levels going. That's physical exercise. It's great. It works your body, works your mind when you think, if you think about it. And yeah, it's great. And reading, definitely. Ooh, getting a good workout for your mind and your body. Both of those.
What type of books do you like?
I like any kind of book.
Just any kind of book? Is there any genre in specific, or?
Oh, I believe we lost her.
Yeah, we may have.
She sounded like she was cutting out.
Yep. All right, well, caller, you are on the air.
Hello. Please tell me your shoe size.
Would you please repeat that?
Could you tell me your foot size,
please? I have a size 9 shoe.
Okay. That was another of those odd calls, I suppose.
Perhaps they're racing their dopamine levels.
Yeah, maybe they sell shoes.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that brings them joy. You never know.
Exactly. They want to know what shoe size you are so that they know exactly what type of shoe to stock.
Okay.
All right. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, hello. I wanted to thank you so much for the show, and I'm sorry you're getting some odd calls, but I have really enjoyed listening to your discussions, and wow, it's just awesome. And I wanted to say that I think I get a lot of endorphins and all sorts of energy from being out in nature, and we are so fortunate to be here where nature is so beautiful and all around us.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I wanted to mention that.
Yeah, I was thinking earlier that being around the ocean or bodies of water in general, like creeks and just exploring them, that brings me a lot of peace. And I was thinking about even going there to a creek later today just to be with my friends and enjoy their company in a place that is just all around serene.
It's so naturally peaceful at the calm streams hearing this.
So what about nature releases endorphins for you? Is it just the scenery? Or?
Yeah, I don't know. There's an energy there for me. It does make me high. Especially if you get up on top of a mountaintop somewhere, or like you were saying, sitting in a creek and watching the water and the ferns and the sounds, I just feel like it just makes me really high.
Well, beautiful.
Yeah. I just wanted to share that. And again, I really love your discussions. It's great.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for your input.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Caller, you are on the air.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Well, there's really, like, in my opinion, like, a lot of ways to release endorphins and get high, but I like to use crack.
Hmm.
We're talking about beyond the drugs, though. Is there anything beyond drugs that you enjoy?
Are there more things in your life than hard drugs like that? What else makes you happy when you're not on drugs?
I run a lot from, like, black people and stuff, but...
All right.
Running is good.
Yep, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, I called earlier about the musician thing. Oh, I forgot to make my point.
Happens every now and then.
Okay, cool. Thank you for understanding. I wanted to actually, previous caller before me mentioned the highs and lows. And there being a balance in between those two.
Mm-hmm.
That was my point with the musicians.
Yes.
The highs that they're experiencing are usually very low, but we get the opposite effect now with the high. You feel the high of their creation. Okay. So hopefully we can all appreciate the people that are a little bit lower than us.
It's like looking at fine art. Sometimes people aren't always in the best mindset, but you can still go there and to an art gallery and enjoy their beauty that they've created.
So there's true beauty in a low, and then the high is also just as splendid. But there is a very strong positive in the low also.
You sort of got to find a balance.
Yeah, definitely. Well, very well put. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you again. All right, caller, you are on the air.
Caller. Hi.
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
So, caller, what is it that gets your dopamine flowing? What is it that you enjoy to do with your life?
I don't know.
Do you have anything that you enjoy to do? Is it hanging out with friends or sitting or calling in on the radio? Is it?
I was just going to order a pizza.
Well, there you
Wrong
go.
Wrong number, sorry.
I think what gets pizza. Their dopamine flowing is
pizza.
Laughter. Probably yeah. Laughter. If not for others, for themselves, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. Alright, caller, you are on the air.
Oh, yes, hi. This is Roberta Werdinger. I just want to share, when we were talking about religion, that regardless of what religion you belong to, the Hindu and Buddhist countries have a really incredible tradition of teaching about meditation and all these techniques which can really change your consciousness. And many of them can induce ecstasy. They all have different opinions about whether ecstasy is really the point, but there's no doubt that they can really produce dopamines and help people reduce stress. And there's so many techniques. There's meditation, but there's many, many others. And a lot of cultures use trance and drumming and all that. So the main other thing I'd like to say about that while I'm bringing it up, and I hope it's not off the point completely, just because of some abuses that have been going on, is that people be very, very careful about the teacher that they seek out and the tradition they seek out. Please be a good consumer and don't just accept the first offer that comes around. Check it out very carefully and be discriminating. So that's
it's good to know what you're getting into before you really fully jump in. It's good to know if you're prepared for it, right? That's
Yes, because people can be very needy, very vulnerable when they're looking for help and looking for teachers.
Indeed.
And there are people who will take advantage of that.
Yeah, some great words of wisdom. Thank you.
So yeah. Check it out and check out the teacher in the community and make sure that it's a good choice.
It's the right fit for you.
Yeah, make sure. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
All right. Caller, you are on the air.
Oh, hi. Well, I think that staying positive and having a release of endorphins, and that is dependent upon staying healthy.
I would have to agree. It's much harder for your body to create this dopamine to release, and much harder for it to release it, as a matter of fact, if your body itself is in bad shape, or is if you feel mentally poor, or it's all of these different things. If you don't feel good, or if your body isn't working properly, then it's harder to be happy.
If you're consuming bad foods all the time from drive-thrus or just stuff that's made with a whole bunch of grease, that can make people feel more sluggish and not want to get out more. What makes you, makes your dopamine levels higher? Health? What do you enjoy doing?
Higher health, really. I mean, I try to stay away from things that are poisoned by reptilians and the Illuminati, and, you know, that really helps,
avoiding poison's probably pretty helpful.
Yeah, poison.
Definitely, I'd agree with that one. Illuminati, I'm not sure, man. I mean, if that's what you think, that's what you think.
They control your...
Alright, well, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, I'd like to say that the biggest dopamine release I think I've experienced is through forgiveness, and that's void of religion. It was something in myself that I was able to let go of, and that, in my lifetime, has been the greatest release that I've had.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for sharing.
Yeah, thank you. That's
when most people think of forgiveness as a good thing, a lot of people that I know at least think of, oh, religion. That's one of the core things of religion. But just forgiving yourself or forgiving others or being forgiven, it can be great. All right, caller, you're on the air.
I'm on the air.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Could you all join me in reciting the German National Anthem?
No, we can't, sorry.
Yeah, that's...
I haven't really memorized that. Maybe one day, I promise you. Well,
actually,
no, I don't.
A couple odd calls.
Yeah.
Yeah, to say the least. We've had, what, Sith Lords?
A couple is like two. I think we've gotten like...
It sounds pretty much like the same person.
A little bit.
Oh, allow him to keep coming. It's pretty...
Well, maybe that's what gets their dopamine flowing.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Asking about Star Wars related things and about shoe sizes.
And the German national anthem.
The only national anthem besides the American that I know is the Canadian.
Alright, caller, you're on the air.
Wait, what about Canadian?
I know the Canadian anthem alright, just because I thought it would be fun to learn.
Caller?
I did cocaine 4 years ago.
Alright, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, I hope I'm not taken as that one caller keeps coming back, but for forgiveness to happen, something negative would have had to have happened prior.
Mm.
So it's all a process.
Yeah,
definitely.
All right, you guys.
Well, thank you again.
Yes.
It's like starting, I had a PE teacher who said that to build up muscle, first you had to break down some that you already had to build up something new and better. And I guess that's kind of the same process that you have to go through with forgiveness and everything.
And sort of. The new out with the old.
Yeah. Similar to maybe a government. A lot of governments have been overthrown because they've been tyrannical and then replaced with a democracy or something like that. It's interesting how you can go from having something bad to going to having something good. All right, caller, you are on the air.
Caller, you there?
Oh, hi.
Hello.
Would you like to join my RuneScape empire?
All right.
Hey, Justin.
Hello, caller. You are on the air.
Hi. I wanted to thank you for the show, and also I'm glad to hear people calling in about the way that internal states can help release levels of dopamine and other good chemicals that help balance and reduce stress and make us feel really happy. You know, the fellow talking about forgiveness was one of them, and also the meditation. And it reminds me that the things that I do and have done to create a feeling of well-being or of real higher states all seem to involve becoming more present in the present moment, in my body. And movement definitely uses that, movement with music in particular. I was talking to someone today who said taiko was one of the ways she'd gotten euphoric year after year, taiko drumming where you're moving and creating music. And so there are so many ways, and I think it's good to recognize that not being in the mental part of, or the mental dependency on what's going to happen in the future, what happened in the past, holding grudges, thinking things over too much, that in itself, if you can drop too much thinking about past and future, there's a way that we can be in the present, and then so many things can bring a lot of pleasure. And meditation definitely can lead to almost everything you do being a source of satisfaction once you're in a balanced state. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you.
Thank you. I have personally done taiko drumming, and I do feel that it's a wonderful thing.
Well, that's
thing.
Great. Good, good. Okay, I'll get off the air now. Thanks a lot for the show again.
Thank you.
Thank you for your call. All right, caller, you are on the air.
Hello. I was thinking one thing that hadn't been mentioned was just simply falling in love, you know. It's been, ever since I was a little kid, that was my dream. And I remember whenever I would fall in love with a girl, like in elementary school or something, I was too shy to even talk to her. But I might dream about her at night, and I would think, wow, she had that dream too, and I'd go back to school thinking, wow, this is going to be amazing. But she didn't have that dream. And it was like, but to keep that dream, it never like faded. And so when I was 18, I met my true love, Lori, and we've been journeying for like over 40 years together now, and it's... And the shift in and what makes the endorphins go to me is once you meet your true love, which is how the movies used to end, you know, the couple walking into the sunset hand in hand, that's the beginning of the story. You know, how do you keep that flame alive? And how do you, you were asked not to relate to sexuality, but sensuality is a big part of that spectrum, and the connection when that heart's open, and it's a whole different realm what goes on, you know, in our sensual life and all aspects. And then from there, I realized, wow, I have to love my work, or my love at home will fade. And so that passion had to go in all aspects of my life to keep that high, you know, and realizing ultimately the whole journey to me is about following the heart. And just in that path, you keep this level of energy. The reason I never liked weed was it lowered, it was a low to me. It never could take me where I hardly need sleep when I need this deep sleep, but not the length that other people need when I'm in that experience, you know, of just this amazing connection. And from that nature opened up for me, and the trees and the colors and the scent. And so it's like, for me, there's this amazing dream that almost everybody's born with, I think, and we give it up a lot for other substitutes, but because we don't have the skills in communication and whatever it is to keep healthy relationship going, you know. And to me, that's a huge part of it is really responsible, healthy, beautiful, loving communication. Otherwise, you'll douse the flame of your own love and your own passion. So I just wanted to throw that out there because I get so much energy, and it's such a high when that heart chakra is open. And then that communes to, you know, your lover and your male, and your friends and everything. There's just this excitement in friendship and in love that's beyond anything I've ever seen. Anyway, so I really want to thank you for the show, though. I think it's amazing that you're broaching that there's a world beyond the crutches that people turn to, and it springs from inside us, you know. So
indeed, thank you.
Thank you for the insight.
Sounds like you've led a pretty glorious life, and I'm very happy for you and your partner, Lori.
Oh, thank you kindly. Ciao.
Okay, yeah, that was definitely interesting.
That was something that we hadn't really talked about, was love.
Yeah, love.
It changes everything about you. You've got the natural love that you have for your family, and then you've got the love that you grow to have for someone else, and all of those different things.
Yeah.
All right, now, thank you for that.
Yeah, well, that's all for this month's edition of You Speaks Out. Your hosts today have been me, Kelsey, and...
me, as Rowan.
Talon.
Tao.
Laytonville Healthy Starts Coalition Drug-Free Communities Project is proud to support this month's You Speaks Out, our environmental prevention strategies in the community, also known as EPIC, is a project funded by the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Through our organization and coalition, we are working towards reducing youth substance abuse through a variety of strategies in the Laytonville community. If you are interested in learning more about our efforts, please contact Laytonville Healthy Start at 707-984-8089 or email JAMA at jamashields@pacific.net.
Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached at reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of a show, and listen to many hours of previous programs in streaming audio. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX, they are views of those who express them. Youth Speaks Out is aired on the first Sunday of each month. Our next show will be in 5 weeks, that is October 6th at 3 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in October.